Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
If you were working in my company and you're using my material, you should start picking up the nature of the company and believing in it, and you start making it yours instead of it's just his and you stealing from me. It's ours.
Bishop Clark says God's glory is also revealed in his purposes. He goes on to say, when the Lord is doing something, building something, or restoring something, we will behold his glory in his works, and in turn, will be changed by beholding or witnessing these as well.
And God wants us to get to a place where it's not his church, it's our church. It's our ministry. He's given us the gifts to expand the kingdom in the world.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to the Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of the International Ministries of Truth Revealed, a Spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida. Today, Bishop Clark continues his teaching on restoration. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18, as Bishop Clark concludes the message, The Origin of Restoration, Part 1 and 2.
We talk about it in Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is the way we worship. That's the primary way we worship, by presenting this. Not talents, by presenting this, especially heart. You got to present it to him. Then be not conformed, verse 2, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you start operating in the gifts, you should pick up the mind of God and the character or the nature of God if you're using his gifts. Glory to God. If you were working in my company and you're using my material, you should start picking up the nature of the company and believing in it, and you start making it yours instead of it's just his and you stealing from me. It's ours. And God wants us to get to a place where it's not his church, it's our church. It's our ministry. He's given us the gifts to expand the kingdom in the world. If it's my church, you don't have to do anything but show up. But if it's our church, you're going to come and check on it. You're going to drive by, give the church a drive by. But not just drive by, you're going to come on in the house. And you're going to come in with the right attitude. And you're going to come in with some she's. And you're going to come in with a praise. And you're going to come in with a good attitude. And you're going to come in shaking hands, pressing palms, and kissing babies. And you're going to come in with a smile. Get your face saved. And you're going to come in worshiping the Lord. And you're going to get here on time. You're going to get here not when everybody else is leaving. You're going to get here before they get here and start worshiping God yourself and get the word in your soul. Because when the word starts pumping, glory to God, like that music you used to, like that music you used to, you'll start moving swifter and faster and going higher and getting stronger than you ever believed you would be. Glory to God. One of the major attributes of the love of the attributes of the nature of God is the love of God. Glory to God. God's love is so powerful. God's love is so powerful. He loved Adam and Eve, even though he made them naked. They were not ashamed. He loved them enough to cover their shame with glory. I don't know if you heard what I said. His love covered the nakedness with glory. Let's just visit that in our mind for a moment. And in chapter 3, they lost the glory. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, she ate of it and gave it to her husband, and he ate, and her eyes were opened. And there's the absence of glory, and they realized that they were naked. The loss of glory in the garden, and that glory, it didn't evaporate, it left the garden. Now the garden is without glory. The natural is really natural. There's no supernatural in the garden, only the natural. And in the first moments of that, you see the blame game kick in. Look what you did. you messed me up. And if we don't have glory, all we'll do is point fingers at each other. You messed me up. No, you messed me up. And every time you point your finger that way, you got three pointing back at you. You got three pointing back at you. You did it. God says, man, what did you do? The woman you gave me. He didn't say, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. You're the one made me first. You know, she came for me, but you made me first. He said, a woman. The blame game. I did everything I'm supposed to do. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. The blame game kicked in. When you don't have glory in a church, the blame game will kick in. When you don't have glory in a ministry, we'll hurt each other. When you don't have glory in a ministry, the gifts will function, but there will be no grease or no grace, and we will bump into each other. We need glory in the house. Can somebody say amen? That glory lifted. That glory lifted. It never settled again like it should. It never settled again. Even Moses had a type of glory, but it was a glory that faded. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 7. It should be on the screen. Please follow me as I follow Christ. Now, if the ministry that brought death, talking about the ministry of Moses, notice the Bible says his ministry brought death, even though it was the tablets of stone, even though it was the righteous law of God. They were incapable of managing the righteousness of God without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says it was a ministry that brought death, which was engraven in letters on stone, talking about the commandments. And if anybody's been religious in their life and they read this, they would have to throw religion out. People don't read the scriptures. That's why long dresses, white dresses, and things like that are kind of looked at as being religious. God could care less about that. When God says a woman should be covered in church, he's talking about you need a husband, not a hat. Now, if you want to wear a hat, let's do it. But it don't make you more holy when you wear it. I like hats, but you got to understand, hat don't make you holy. Just like a nice suit don't make a man righteous. Right? Am I right about it? Come on, let me go old school. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? Some of y'all won't say amen until I go religious. Am I right? Am I right about it? If the ministry, this is what Paul said, the ministry brought death. It's incapable of pleasing God in religion. If the Bible says, if it brought death, which was engraven in letters of stone, came with glory. It did come with glory. So that the Israelites could not look steadfastly on the face of Moses because of its glory fading. Though it was. So Moses, when he came off the mountain, he was in the presence of God for 40 days. The Shekinah glory was visible on the man. In other words, when he walked down off the mountain, imagine me being gone for 40 days and I come back and I'm walking up in here, but my face is shining physically. His face was shining so much. The people said, whoa, look at his face. They was afraid to get close to him. And he's carrying the holy tablets in his hands. That's what he's describing. The Bible says they could not steadfastly look at the face of Moses because of its glory, though it was. Look at verse 8. Will not the ministry of the Spirit. Now he's showing you a contrast. That if what brought death was glorious, so that his face shine, which was fading. Look at verse 8. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If that which brought death was glorious, how much more that which restores, that which brings life, that which heals body, brings back fortunes, that corrects health, opposite of death. Will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? Look at verse 9. If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more the glorious? Much glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness or redemption or restoration. So if Moses, we all look at him, man, the man called manna down, the man opened up the Red Sea through the power of God, the man did some miraculous things, but the Bible says his stuff was fading. It was for a moment and it's fading. He's saying the ministry that's coming is even more glorious than Moses. But everybody, if you had to pick with Christ or pick Moses, I want the miracles of Moses. That's what most people, I want a rod. I want to cast it down and you see it turn into a snake. Ooh, I want my face to shine. Ooh, I'll make money as a prophet that way. Now, prophet. You forget, you're going back to Old Testament when God says there's something coming that's greater than old. Come on, revealer of truth, Holy Ghost. Come on with it. I feel you. Speak to my mind. Speak through these lips of clay as an oracle. For where there is no vision, the people perish. Ooh, Jesus, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more the glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness. Verse 10, for what was glory? He keeps saying it. What was glorious? For what was glorious? For what was glorious? Has no glory. For what was has no glory. Now in comparison with the surpassing glory. He's saying what you saw with Moses, what was, can't even compare with that which excels. We can't see it because you need faith to see this. You're not going to see a face shine, but you got to see it through the scriptures. Moses' face shined, but you have a glory now that looks like the lunar, the star. Hallelujah. It looks like the lunar, the star that's in our hemisphere compared to Moses' face. The Son of God himself is here. And if Moses was glorious, hallelujah, what about the one that excels? What about the ones whose light never dies? Ooh, Jesus. I like it again. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. I like verse 11. And if what was fading, if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory which lasts? So a flashlight can't compare to a star. Oh, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Look at verse 12. Therefore, since we have such hope, we're not blank, we're not casual, we're bold. We use great plainness of speech. We are not like Moses. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face when he preached to people. He put a veil over his face. He had to act like this when he preached to people, because they would always, always, always run when they saw the man with a veil on his face. But God says there's something greater than that kind of ministry, where the preacher can't reveal themselves, can't show that they're human. There's something about the glory that excels. It's not about us. It's about the one who raised us up. It's about the one who washed us clean. It's about the one who died, hallelujah, and gave his life. It's not about a man. It's not about Merton. Merton have no momentum. Merton have no message without the man of Christ, the man called Christ, the God man whose glory excels. Every preacher's got to get out of the way with this glory. Every woman of God's got to get out of the way when this glory shows up. Look at the word, not like Moses. Who talks like that? Who talks like that? Not like Moses. Verse 13. Not like religion. Not like dressing up in choir suits. Not like rituals. Not like ceremonies. Woo, Jesus. Not like the, it's like, but it's not the Levitical priesthood. It's after the order of Melchizedek now. Ooh, Jesus. Whole nother system. Not like animal sacrifices. like blood everywhere. One man died once. He died once. Not every day. Just one time, and his blood is efficacious. It cleansed then, it's cleansing now, and it's going to cleanse in the future, not like Moses. Woo, Jesus. You got to settle the issue now. Do you want religion or do you want this glory? Do you want to go back to rituals, long dresses, and no earrings, or do you want God? Do you want to go back, hallelujah, to condemnation and stoning? When you make a mistake, you get stoned. You get kicked out of the camp. Or do you want somebody that loves you? Even if they got to tear you, they got to tear you down and break you down, but they'll put you on their shoulder and march you back to hell, not like Moses. The origin of this restoration comes from the man called Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. He didn't condemn his children, but that the world through him might be saved. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. We're not like Moses, who put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day, the same veil remains when the Old Testament is read. You're going back to the Old Testament to set up laws and rules and regulations. Yes. And what happens? A veil is placed between God and his people. Jesus. Look at the word. It has not been removed. It has not been removed. The veil is still there. And that's why you got people even today in the 21st century that goes back to rituals in the Old Testament to try to find righteousness today. And there's a veil. It has not been removed. Because only in Christ is right there. Only in Christ is it taken away. And when he called me, he said, I want you to go and teach them my word. Don't teach them religion. Don't teach them statutes of the Old Testament alone. We can get the righteousness that comes from the Old Testament, but don't put these labels on my people. What I want you to do is teach them Christ. Teach them who I am. The world didn't call you. The church didn't even call you. I called you. I said, but I'm not perfect, Lord. He says, I know. And I didn't call you because you're perfect. I called you because you won't preach your name. You'll preach mine. Because in my name, sick bodies are healed. Hallelujah. In my name, minds are regulated. In my name, hearts are turned around. In my name, serpents stop biting the people of God. In my name, I give them living bread. In my name, I reveal truth to my people. In my name, people can start over again. In my name, there's forgiveness of sin. In my name, there's liberty. In my name, there's restoration. In my name, there's glory. Even the righteous run into my name and they're safe. In my name, there's safety. In my name, there's healing. In my name, there's deliverance. In my name, there's hope. Hallelujah. In my name, children can come home. In my name, personal relationships can be restored. In my name, cities are shaken. In my name, there's expansion. In my name, communities are revitalized. In my name, dead are raised to life. In my name, diseases have to die. In my name, they worship. Ooh, Jesus. Not like Moses. Moses is not the origin. Moses didn't start it. I am that I am started.
Glory to God.
Put your hands together. I feel the Holy Ghost. I'm almost done with this one. Verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit of restoration, of healing. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, come on, there's freedom. That's why we must preach Christ. There is no restoration without Jesus. You may think you're being restored. It's a glory that's fading. If you wanted to last, you got to get with Christ. If you wanted to last, you got to get with the man called Christ. There are other aspects of the nature of God, like his peace, his patience, his faithfulness, all seen in Galatians 5. It all makes up the fruit of the Spirit. Gentleness in all nine is the governor of all fruit. You got nine fruit of the Spirit. Take away one, you have eight. There are nine, but the one that's the central one that governs all fruit, it governs it, tempers it. It is the conduit in which the fruit is produced, is gentleness. And one of the things God wants to develop now in this season is the gentleness of God. In other words, we can't just be rock hard Christians. Ain't he good kind of Christians. Ain't he good. He wants us to be more gentle with each other. He wants us to slow it down and speak as if we love. And there are times when we need to assert, but we need to be gentle as we assert. Amen. If there's a fly on your table, you got a countertop from Italy, and I'm at your house, there's a fly. I got a napkin there and a sledgehammer. And that fly landed on your nice plate that you got from Neiman Marcus. And it's sitting there, I'm eating. And a fly came on my plate. And I got a sledgehammer and a napkin. I can take the napkin with gentleness and shoot the fly away. Or I can take the sledgehammer. Now, what would you say about me if I take a sledgehammer to kill the fly? Woo! I got it. He's dead. But what else did I destroy? God wants to govern us. Temperance in all things. I have the ability to close and to crush this egg that's in my hand. Got a dog biting my... I stepped in something that the dog laid. Got a baby in my arms. I'm on the phone with my spouse and they're yelling at me. Or not talking at all. And I still hold that egg without crushing it. This is the kind of fruit that God wants to give his people. You can be under pressure, under fire, but you hold it.
You know, scripture teaches us that if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from wickedness, I will hear from heaven, forgive sin, and heal the land. Trim Nation, let us make time for prayer. We're praying that God's kingdom would come and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So join our international prayer network as we go before God in prayer. Sundays at 6 a.m. and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can join by phone, dial 1-414-885-3845. That is 1-414-885-3845. Here's the pin, 875-606-243. I say again, 875-606-243. Again, you're the crescendo of God's creation. He loves you, and we're praying for you. We'll see you there.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's teaching, we would love to hear from you. You can write to us at The Word of Truth Revealed, P.O. Box 60128, Palm Bay, Florida 32906, or you can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. Now, for your personal copy of today's message from the Restore series, The Origin of Restoration, Part 1 and 2, when you write or email us, use reference number 2109-2608. That's reference number 2109-2608. Or log on to our website and download the MP3. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with the International Ministries of Truth Revealed. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with us, Trim Nation, by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. For Android users, go to the Play Store, and for Apple users, go to the App Store. Follow Trim Nation on social media by logging into Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or visit us on the web at truthrevealed.org. And now, a final thought from Bishop Clark.
He was wounded for our transgressions. He was pierced for our rebellion, bruised for our guilt and iniquities, crushed for our sins. The chastisement needed to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we're healed and made whole. There are so many bruised people in our world today, bleeding underneath your skin. But I have good news for you. Yes, there was a stain placed on your personality, but God has given you a promise, and you're blessed with that promise if you access his word, access Jesus himself, you will be made whole. So rest it. Enter a Sabbath rest from the pain of your wounds. Ice it. Make sure that you don't allow anger to take over you. Compress it. Wrap the word of God around your situation, around your bleeding heart. And lastly, elevate it. Make sure you lift it up before the Lord. He's the only one that can heal you. And he's ready, willing, and able to do it.
You're listening to WWBC, 1510 AM, W234BI, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, 100.7 FM.